Amen. I wonder if we could turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12, to Matthew's Gospel chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Matthew's Gospel chapter 12, and beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was and hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it up? Or lifted out. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Amen. We know the Lord land is blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. I want to look at the story, but the text I'm taking is verse 13 there, the last verse that we read of that portion of scripture. Let's just unite again and seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we turn to thee in our Saviour's precious name. And our God, we thank thee for thy precious word. We're glad, our God, that we have the God of the Sabbath here today. We're glad, our God, of the one who has given us the rest that we need. And we thank thee for the opportunity to meet around thy word. And our God, we thank thee that thou art the God who is able to heal. And we're glad that thou art able to transform the circumstances and the situation and the hearts and the lives of dear, benighted sinners. And our God, we pray that thou wouldst have mercy tonight, and that thou wouldst come and apply thy word to every heart. Draw near to us, we pray. Pour out of thy spirit upon us as we seek to serve thee, and help us, our God, to make much of our Saviour. Draw near to us and bless and be with us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. We want to look at that text of scripture. It says, Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And I want you to see that the portion of scripture there, verse 9, starts with a behold. It says, And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And it is as if the Spirit of God, and I think there's no doubt that the Spirit of God wants to draw attention to this man. It is as if the Spirit of God, when he uses the word behold, is saying, this is a man that we want you to see. Before you take another step further, here is a man that we want you to look at. And here is a man in the Word of God, and the Savior went into the synagogue that day to find that man. It was that man that he wanted to find. In the midst of all the hustle and bustle, and amidst all of the people that were in the synagogue this day, the Lord Jesus was there to deal with this man. Now, the man wasn't a rich man. The man wasn't in any way a powerful man, as far as the world is concerned. In fact, he was A man with a withered hand here, probably in very poor circumstances indeed. But the word of God here would lead us to believe that he's a very severe case. His hand is withered, his hand is bent, his hand is brought him to the place where he's no capacity to work or to do anything for himself. He's without strength. He is not able to work as a craftsman in any way. And particularly in these days when most people worked with their hands, this was going to leave him in a dire predicament indeed. Indeed, he probably was a poor man. He would have been left in poverty because he was not able to work. He was not able to provide for what family he had. And he was not counted as able-bodied because of the withering of his hand. And here is the man that the Lord Jesus comes to meet. He's a man that the world would have despised, the world would have overlooked in many ways. But the Lord Jesus comes to meet with this man. And I want you to see that the Lord Jesus tonight is in this meeting. He comes to meet with sinners. And dear friend, it may be that the Lord Jesus is here to meet with you. Maybe I'm speaking to someone in this meeting, and you feel that your heart and soul is withered, that your life is not counting for anything. As far as you are concerned, maybe you think of your life and it's dried up and it's withered. It doesn't mean anything. It maybe seems to you tonight as if there is nothing that your life is counting for. And maybe tonight in this meeting, your spirit is withered. Withered by sin. Withered by the circumstances that you face day by day. Well, dear friend, I want you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is one who is able to deal with all these things. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who sets his love upon sinners and draws them to himself. And I want you to see what the Lord Jesus Christ is able to do with this man who is withered and useless as far as the world is concerned. I want you to see how the Lord Jesus Christ takes this man and transforms him by the grace of God. And there are a number of things, just very simply, that I want you to see in this portion of Scripture. And the first thing that I want you to see is the Savior's requirement. We're introduced to the man, but look at what the Savior says to the man. He says, "Stretch forth thy hand." That's the Savior's requirement. That's the sovereign command. Stretch forth thy hand. Now, I want you to see the specifics of the command, because when the Lord Jesus asked the man to stretch forth his hand, and it was his right hand that was the one that was withered, what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing is asking the man to do something that he cannot do. You see, the Lord Jesus goes right to the root of the problem. Where was the problem? The problem was his hand. Where was the problem? The problem was in the withering of his hand. He couldn't stretch his hand. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes immediately and he gives him a command to do the exact thing that he cannot do. And the Lord Jesus focuses right upon the very source of the problem and the very heart of the matter. It was his hand. And dear friend, I want you to see that that is the same with the gospel. The gospel command is one that commands you to do something that you cannot do. The Bible command is repent and believe the gospel. The Bible command is to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. "Come unto me," he says, "all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And the Lord bids you come to him. Dear friend, we think of how the Lord gives you the command to do exactly what you cannot do. Though the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So if there's any inkling in your heart tonight leading you to Christ, then maybe, dear friend, that is the beginnings of the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. Dear friend, you will not come in your own. The Lord must draw you. The Lord must lay hold upon you. Maybe in this meeting there is one, and you feel and you know that God is beginning to deal with your heart. Well, here was a man, and the very thing that the Lord or that he could not do. That's the thing that the Lord is commanding him to do. Dear friend, tonight, what you must do, you must come to Christ. What you must do, you must bow before the Saviour. You must repent of your sins. And dear friend, God will give you the strength to do it. God will give you the strength to do it. You see, dear friend, very often people deal with the symptoms of the problem. Maybe there is one here tonight, and you feel your need, and you've been tinkering about with the symptoms of the problem and trying to renovate your life. And you've been trying to do something that will deal with the symptoms, while the only thing that will deal with the problem and the heart of the problem and the root of the problem is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, believe. What the Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer came back, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We see the specifics of the command. But then I want you to see the surprise of the command. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ asked this man to do something that he could not do. And really there was a shock in that. There's a shock factor. And you could think of how this man might have taken that to be an offense. You know, somebody comes, if you were to go to somebody that has a disablement of some kind today, and you were just to say to them, well, do what you can do, they would probably take that as an offense. They would probably take that as you scorning them or mocking them in some way. But I want you to see that this man didn't take it like that. There was something in the way that the Lord Jesus spoke. There was something in the way that the Lord Jesus dealt with them, that he knew that he was not mocking him. But the Lord says, stretch forth thy hand. And I want you to see that the Lord was enabled to give this man the strength to stretch forth his hand. Now, this was no sham disease. This was reality. And I want you to see that the Lord says to this man, stretch it out. He doesn't say to rub it or to go to the priest in order to show so that he can get ceremonial cleansing. The Lord just deals with the very heart of the matter. Dear friend, I want you to see tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ, now this might be a shock to you, but dear friend, you must come. You must come. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is the Savior here, and he's able. He is able to give the man the power to do what he felt he couldn't do, and that's a wonderful thing tonight. Maybe there are many people who, in the face of the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will say, "Well, I can't come. I could not keep the salvation of God. I could not keep his mercy and his grace." Dear friend, thank God you don't have to, because it is God that gives you the power to come and put your trust in him. Oh, dear friend, I wonder tonight, will you repent and believe the gospel? We see the surprise of the command. But notice something else. Look at the source of the command. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if anybody else had given that command to stretch forth his hand, well, it probably would have been a mockery. It would have been something that he could have taken offense at. The reason why this man did not take it as offense, because he could see the authority that there was in the Lord Jesus Christ. He could see that this was no ordinary man. He could see that this man had power. He could see that this man had the authority to command and to send forth. And thank God tonight we can say, like the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And men, women, what makes it possible that you can know that you're saved, know those things that you naturally couldn't know, is that the Lord Jesus Christ comes and reveals, and he gives you power. He gives you the power to become the sons of God. To as many and received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. And I'm glad tonight that I'm not speaking upon the authority of myself. I'm not speaking upon the authority of my church. But I'm speaking upon the authority of his precious word and upon the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, if somebody else had come and bid you come to the Saviour and find life eternal, you could ignore that. You could pass that by. You know, there are many people who come with different philosophies today. But if it is not the Lord Jesus Christ that you go to, dear friend, you might as well forget about it. But dear friend, if you come to the source of power, if you come to the one who is the authority, then thank God he can do what you need to be done. And the Lord Jesus Christ tonight is the one who holds all power in heaven and in earth. We think of how it speaks about the day of the book of Revelation, when we read about the people sitting down before the Lord and singing to glory, to his glory and his praise and his honor. And it is this Savior that can save you. Oh, don't be looking to me. Don't be looking around at the elders of this church or to this denomination. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can save you. We see the source of the command. But also want you to see the symbolism of the command. Often people with a withered hand would try to conceal it and to hide it. And no doubt it would have been the same with this man. As he went about, and we're not told when he had sustained the withered hand. He hadn't been born with the withered hand. What had happened to the man, we don't know what had taken place. But oftentimes, particularly somebody that had suffered a withered hand or an injury or a disability later in life, they would try to conceal it. And I want you to see, I think what is happening here is that the Lord commands him to stretch forth the hand, not only that it might be healed, but that it might be seen. In other words, what he has to do is to demonstrate his need. He has to demonstrate his need. He has to show forth before all that he is a man who needs the healing. And you know, dear friend, that's what you need to do as well. You need to come, but you need to demonstrate your need. You need to be willing to publicly confess your need. You bring the need to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are willing to own yourself as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner in the sight of a holy God. And when the man stretched forth his hand, really he was showing his hand to all that were in the synagogue, and he was demonstrating what was wrong in his life. You see, in those days when people had a withered hand, really, when you speak about the right hand in the scripture, it is the hand of work. This man couldn't work. His life was benighted in many ways. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and he's really saying, well, don't hold back. Don't let pride keep you. Oh, the man might have said, no, I don't want to demonstrate my hand. I don't want to show my hand. Dear friend, if he hadn't shown his hand, he couldn't have got healing. And you must be willing tonight to take the humble place and to come even publicly before the Lord tonight and own yourself as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. We see the Savior's command. But the second thing that I want you to see is a simple response. Look at verse 13. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. Or look at the response. And he stretched it forth. Now, we've already said that this was impossible. I'm sure that many times he had massaged his hand. There are many times when he had tried his best to stretch out his fingers, and it had been absolutely impossible. You can imagine what was depending upon it, his livelihood, his ability to
Eke out an existence dependent upon whether he could stretch that hand. And I'm sure that he did everything that he could to make sure and to massage that and to give therapy to it and to stretch it out in every way that he could. But he couldn't do it. And yet now, at the command of the Lord, he is able to do what he couldn't do. How did that happen? Well, I want you to see that first of all, the man had to be ready. He had to be ready. There was something in the words, the command of the Lord Jesus Christ that made him ready to try it. As we said, he probably had tried it many times before, and I'm sure that he had tried it to such an extent that he had maybe given up. But there was a conviction, something in the words of the Lord Jesus, something in the authority of the Lord Jesus, made him willing and ready to do and try this that he had maybe tried many times before. Dear friend, the first thing that you need to do is be ready. Are you ready to come to Christ? You know the problem? The problem about so many people is that they're not ready. They're not ready. Not ready to come. And maybe already in this meeting, you have said in your own heart, I will not come. No matter what the preacher says tonight, I will not come. Maybe tonight you can sit in meetings and the commands of Christ make no impact upon you. The first thing that you need is to be ready. But then I want you to see not only was he ready, but he was willing. He was willing to reveal his need to others. He was ready to and willing to show forth the need that he had and to stretch forth his hand so that others could see it. And he was willing to do what the Lord wanted him to do. Dear friend, are you willing tonight? Willing to put the Lord Jesus Christ to the test? Willing to ask him to take away your sins and forgive you? If you had asked this man, he certainly would not have wanted to keep his withered hand. And I'm sure it's the same with you. Maybe in this meeting, as we've said, you feel that withering of your life. You feel as if you're useless in many ways. You feel as if your life does not count for anything. And you don't want that. Who in their right mind would want that? You certainly don't want to go to hell. You don't want to perish in your sin. But dear friend, are you willing to do what the Lord wants you to do in order to find a remedy for that? Are you willing to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. You know, sometimes people put the emphasis on the whosoever. And there is an emphasis on the whosoever. Whosoever will may come. But also you need to emphasize the will. Whosoever will may come. And you need to be willing. Are you willing tonight? Oh, your soul's eternal welfare depends upon it. Your eternity in heaven or in hell is resting upon this. Are you willing? Are you willing to get right with God? Are you willing to come? He was ready. And he was willing. And then he was able. You see, when he showed his readiness and his willingness, the Lord then stepped in, and the man responds in faith, and the Lord now gives him the ability to stretch out that hand. And that's what happens when men and women come to Christ. As they reach out in faith, the Lord gives them the ability to lay hold upon Christ. And here he is, and he had never been able to do it before, but he's willing to do what the Lord wants, and suddenly what he could not do before, what had frustrated him before, what had absolutely driven him to distraction before, now in a moment of time he's able to do. Maybe there have been many times when you've tried to renovate your life. Many times when, as it were, you've tried to stretch out the hand that represents your heart and your sin. And you've never been able to do it. And you're saying to yourself, well, now it cannot be done. You can do it in the power of God. And this man was made able by the power, by the mighty power of the God of heaven. And you know, here is a man, and he is able to come. And he just comes simply. He just does this simple task. Thank God that coming to Christ is simple. There are many people who get themselves caught up in the mechanics of salvation. And they get all caught up in theology and about questions. And it's good to ask questions. And we try to answer questions if we can. But dear friend, all that the man did was stretch out his hand in faith. And he received the healing that he needed. Oh, he couldn't do it for years. And now he's able to do it. Maybe you've been frustrated for years about your condition before God. He was ready. He was willing. And then he was able. God made him able. He wasn't able to do it himself. He had tried to do it himself. God made him able. God will make you able to come. He was ready. He was willing. He was able. But then he was bold. He made his response in the face of the scribes and the Pharisees and in the midst of the synagogue and all that were round about him. He made his response openly. He came openly. He came in response to what the Lord Jesus Christ had said, and he didn't care about the crowd. He didn't care about what other people would say. He didn't care about what other people would think. His hand was going to be made whole. And if he thought that there was a hope of his hand and his life being changed and transformed by the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was going to come. And how wise he was. How wise it is to close in with God's offer of mercy. How wise it is to dispense with that which mars us and that which brings us down and that which withers our existence. How wise it is to dispense with that and come and find life and life eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh dear friend, he was bold. There's got to be that certain amount of boldness that brings a sinner to Christ. There is that faith, that bold faith that reaches out as the Lord passes by. And dear friend, I want to tell you tonight that the Lord is passing by in this meeting where two or three are met together in his name. There he is in the midst. And you come and you reach out by faith. I remember a minister that was dying of cancer one time, and he told his people that they didn't need to be saved. Dear friend, there are many people in many pulpits today, and they will tell people the falsehoods of the modern day religion. But dear friend, you need to listen to what the Lord Jesus says. Stretch forth thy hand. Stretch it forth. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Will you do that tonight? But there's one more thing that I want you to see, and that is the strength that he received. We see the sovereign requirement or the Savior's requirement and the simple response. But then look at the strength received. The text says that the man reached out and stretched forth his hand, he says in verse 13, and he stretched it forth and it was restored like as the other. And I want you to see that he received healing. And I want you to see that the healing that he received was manifest. I want you to see that it was obvious. When people looked at this man, they could see the difference. There he was, and the Lord got him to stretch out that hand. And as he stretched it out, you can imagine perhaps the process that takes place as that hand that is withered and bent and perhaps all bent together, as he stretches out that hand and suddenly the sinews come into place and the blood begins to flow and the tendons begin to work, and now suddenly he stretches out the hand and all see the difference. As he stretches it out, that withered hand, that hand that is dried, that hand that is so marred and so obviously deformed, stretches out and it's manifest. Dear friend, when the Lord works in hearts, he does a work that is manifest. He does a work that changes men. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There was a teacher in Bradford many years ago who asked her pupils to write on slates the most wonderful thing that had happened to them in the past month. And there was a little girl who wrote, "Father has been to Eastbrook and he got converted, and I have a new daddy." You see, that's what the gospel does. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He gives a new daddy, gives a new mommy, gives a new son, brings a new daughter, brings new life out of that which is dead and withered and dry. He brings something that is manifest. He brings something that's not a sham, not a pretense, something that's real. I'm glad, dear friend, that the healing that the Lord Jesus Christ brings is manifest. And then I want you to see that not only was it manifest, it was immediate. The man did not have to stand a long time, tried to stretch out his hand. He didn't have to wait a long time or go back for other appointments with the Lord Jesus in order to get this hand changed. It was something that happened just in a moment of time as he was in the process of stretching it. All the tendons and the blood vessels and all of the muscles come together and there's an immediate change. You know, the Bible says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And it is manifest and it is immediate and it is something that takes place in a moment of time. You can be transformed tonight by the mighty power of God. You can go away from this meeting changed. This was something that was immediate. Not only was it manifest and immediate, but it was perfect. You see, there wasn't still something slightly wrong with the hand. It wasn't that he bore the scars in his hand or that there were some kind of marks in his hand. It says that it was restored whole like as the other. Now, if somebody was to go and get an operation on their hand and they were to maybe get a tendon cut or they were to have something done with their hand, what would normally take place in this day and generation would be that they would go for physiotherapy. And you would have to go and get your hand stretched and they would work at your hand. They'd give you exercises for your hand and you would have to build up strength in your hand. And there would be all sorts of things that you'd have to go through and they would bring you back for checks and they would bring you back to see if everything was going well. But I want you to see that this healing of the Lord Jesus Christ here was not only immediate, but it was perfect. His hand was restored whole, like as the other. It had all the features and all the characteristics of a hand that had been used for many years. Now, if you were not to use your hand for a while, or not to use your feet for a while, if somebody is bedridden for a while, you'll know that they have to be taught to walk again. Perhaps if they've been bedridden for a long time, because the muscles become wasted. Now, this man had not used this hand for many years. So you can imagine that in the natural, even if he had stretched it forth, it would have been smaller, it would have been weaker than the other hand. But that's not what it says. It says that it was restored whole, like as the other. It was perfect. It was just as if it had been always used. It was as strong as the other hand. It was as healthy looking as the other hand. It was as big as it were, or as full as the other hand, if we put it like that. And dear friend, tonight I'm glad that when the Lord Jesus Christ restores, and when the Lord Jesus Christ does the work of salvation, it's a perfect work. Thank God that every sin is washed away. Every last iniquity is taken care of. And the Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I'm glad tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ does a perfect work. And then I want you to see, not only was it perfect, but it was permanent. The man didn't have to come back again and get it done a second time. This was something that was going to be his blessing right through the rest of his life. We don't read that his hand deteriorated again. We don't read that he had problems in his hand again. We don't read anything like that. This was something that was permanent. The Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And when we come and put the Lord Jesus Christ as the first in our life, when we find the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, thank God that he gives us eternal life, and we shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck us out of his hand. But what do we do? What do we do? We come like the man. We trust. Trust. You've got to trust the Savior. You've got to have the faith that the man had. When it seemed as if it was impossible, when it seemed as if there was no way that he could do what the Savior commanded him to do, what did he do? He trusted. He had faith. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please him. He had faith. Oh, dear friend, have you faith, as it were, to stretch out your hand and call upon God and bid him be your Savior and repent of your sins and come tonight and find the Lord, whom to know is life eternal? You must come by faith. The just, the Bible says, shall live by faith. But thank God that this man was made whole, permanently whole, perfectly whole, and he was made instantly whole. And, dear friend, you can be made whole tonight, instantly, perfectly, permanently. Will you come and trust my Savior? Will you call upon him for salvation? Will you trust in the mighty Redeemer tonight, the one who bids you stretch out your hand in faith and take what he has freely offered in the gospel? May you come and find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee tonight that the Lord is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. We pray, our God, that thou wouldst have mercy and thou wouldst write thy word upon hearts. We thank thee that this man was able to stretch out his hand by faith. And our God, we pray that others may come by faith tonight and close in with God's great offer of mercy. We're glad that there's a Savior from all sin. We're glad that men and women who come to him shall in no wise perish, but have everlasting life. So Lord, bless thy word right upon hearts and speak on, we pray of thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name that I would ask these things. Amen. Amen.